And turning this evening, first of all, to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, that we read in our scripture reading, and particularly verse 23. Matthew 1, 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And I want us to think especially this evening about those final three words, God with us. You know, this prophecy was originally given by Isaiah, and it's recorded in chapter 7, verse 14 of his prophecy. We often think about this verse in December as we come to Advent and Christmas season. But I want us to think about this tonight and all that it teaches us. And although this is one word in the Hebrew and in the Greek, Emmanuel, we have these three famous words in English, God with us. Now, I'm indebted to Pastor Winkle at Providence Baptist Chapel in Bedford for the following illustration, as he spoke a little on these words at their Christmas Carol service last year. And he mentioned the What Three Words app. And I think that's quite appropriate for us this evening, so I've borrowed the illustration. I'm sure many of you have heard of the What Three Words app. It's a navigation app, and basically every part of Britain, and indeed the world, has been mapped into a grid of 3 meter square areas. And a combination of three words is then applied to each of these 3 meter square areas. So if you have the app, you type in these three words and the app will then guide you to your destination. Well, looking at the app, the website, I could see that this building, this church, includes a few of these 3 meter square areas. But my best approximation of this pulpit area is the three words, stand, Jazzy, Master. So if you were to type those three words into the app, it should guide you to this church. However, the three words that I want us to think about now are these amazing words found in our text, God with us. You've probably heard, said, maybe even sung these words so often at Christmas time, when we think about the coming of our Lord and Saviour into the world as that babe in Bethlehem. But have we really stopped to think about the amazing truth being conveyed here? That babe is none other than God Almighty, the second person of the triune Godhead, the one who made all things become man. In the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, there are a couple of verses that I'd like us to think of. Verse 1, you know these words very well. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And I'm reminded about something that Pastor Malcolm Watts said at the Jude Conference in January. He mentioned how one lady had told him that sometimes we get the emphasis wrong at the end of that verse. We put the emphasis on the word was when perhaps it should really be on the word God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These are amazing things to think about, that the Word is God. These words teach us about the Lord as the eternal Word of God. And then this idea is expanded through the chapter, culminating in verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the amazing wonder of the Incarnation. The Word, the eternally begotten Son of God, became flesh. In the language of the theologians, he assumed a human body. something he did not have before the incarnation. He didn't empty himself as God. He didn't become any less God. But he who was truly God became truly man also. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Have you ever paused to think about this? He shared, if you like, in our humanity. He tabernacled. He dwelt among us. Although, of course, the Lord was with his people throughout the Old Testament period, particularly so during the wilderness period as he led them and guided them towards the promised land as a pillar of cloud by day and by fire by night, yet he is more properly God with us from the New Testament period and throughout the Gospel age. Indeed, if we turn to the last chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, we read the Great Commission that the Lord gave to his disciples before his ascension into heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. The Lord gave this commission to his disciples, and indeed to the church, and that is such a great promise of the Lord. Lo, I am with you always. When he was born of the Virgin, that great title, Emmanuel, was proclaimed in Matthew's Gospel, just as it had been in Isaiah's prophecy. This Jesus is none other than God with us. God become man. The Lord has promised to be with his people, with his church, even unto the end of the world. As you're all aware, the Lord ascended to heaven shortly after the Great Commission was given. So how is the Lord with us today? John 15:26 says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Then in John chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit came down upon the apostles, as you know, on the day of Pentecost, and so God is with his people today, just as surely as he was with the disciples during his earthly ministry. But what does it mean then that God is with us? First and foremost, it shows the great blessing of Christian conversion, that the Lord has come into the world and promises to be with his people. He is, of course, with us as a local church, as we serve him and as we worship him together. We read the words of our Lord in Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Whenever we meet together as a local church in our worship services or our prayer meetings, the Lord is with us. That is a great blessing and encouragement for each one of us. In Revelation chapter 1, we read how the Lord is revealed to the Apostle John as the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and stands in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks or lampstands that represent the churches. And in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, the Lord sends letters to the seven churches through John, praising where necessary, challenging, reproving, and rebuking where necessary. Our God is not some distant being who has no interest in us, but he is deeply interested in and committed to all that his people are doing. We see here the great importance of the local church in the Lord's providence. As many of you know, this church holds to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. And as Baptists, we see each individual local church as an autonomous and independent church, accountable to the head of the church, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not recognize any hierarchical forms of church government, no archbishop, no synod, no earthly monarch as supreme governor, and certainly no pope. But Christ, and Christ alone, is head and Lord of each local church. Christ is the head of East Dulwich Tabernacle, just as he is the head of the Metropolitan Tabernacle, just as he is the head of all other independent local churches throughout the UK and indeed throughout the world. Here at East Dulwich Tabernacle, we have church officers, yes, in accordance with the biblical pattern. We have our pastor, who is an elder, and three deacons. However, we are all accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is his church, and any decisions that we make must be in accordance with his revealed word, as we feel led by the Lord, and we must commit all things to his sovereign will and overruling. And this is also why membership of a local church is so important. This is the institution that the Lord has appointed to further his kingdom. And it is so important for believers to join themselves in membership to their local church. The Lord is truly with us as a church. We know that we can do nothing except the Lord blesses us. We could come up with all sorts of schemes and innovations to bring people in. But if the Lord does not bless us, then all that we do or say would be in vain. Whatever we seek to do, we must lay all things before him. And this is why the weekly prayer meeting is so important for us as a church. We go out on the doors. We engage with people on the streets. We teach children in morning school, Sunday school, Bible class, college class, Friday meetings. We preach and proclaim the gospel every Lord's Day morning, teach the saints every Lord's Day evening, and Bible study on Wednesday. But if we do not pray earnestly for the Lord's blessing on these things, how can we expect the Lord to bless these endeavors? It is wonderful to see so many children gathering with us week by week in our Sunday school, our Bible class, and our college class. But we earnestly desire for them to be saved. We do not just look for numbers. We want these young souls to come to know the Lord as their Saviour for themselves. Similarly, it's wonderful to see so many people in our Lord's Day morning services, evangelistic services. But the most amazing and wonderful thing would be that many would truly seek and find the Lord and be saved. So that's why we come together every Monday evening and pray that the Lord would truly bless our efforts and our labours. And if you're a believer, I'd encourage you to come each week as you are able and join us in prayer for the work here at East Dulwich Tabernacle. Question may be asked, why pray? Surely if the Lord has ordained all things to pass, wouldn't it happen anyway without our prayers? Well, the simplest answer to that is that the Lord has commanded us to pray. He has commanded us to meet together as a church and has promised to bless those who do so. In the Lord's providence, he has taken account of our prayers in bringing about his purposes, and he blesses us with answers to our prayers to encourage us. Are you concerned about unsaved family members? Are you concerned about the sad state of the people of this neighbourhood and indeed of our land and nation? Are you concerned about the evil wickedness promoted by our rulers, abortion up to birth, assisted dying, and all manner of evil wickedness being proposed? Are you concerned about the rise of Islam and false religion? Then come and join us in our prayer meetings if you don't already. Turn back again to Matthew 28, 19 and 20 in the Great Commission. The disciples and indeed the churches throughout the succeeding years of the Gospel Age have sought to obey the command of the Lord to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Again, we notice here that baptism follows teaching. As Baptists, we reject infant baptism and hold to the biblical doctrine that baptism always follows someone's conversion and profession of faith. Once saved, we teach them to observe all things. Hence why we have regular teaching services and Bible studies. But the promise of the Lord is that he is with his people always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord commands us to go out in obedience, to preach the gospel, to teach sinners, to baptize those who are saved, and to disciple them in the faith. But as we do so, and as we pray to the Lord, and as he blesses us, then he is with us. He will bless our endeavors and draw souls to himself. It may be only the ones and twos who are saved, but just as we read of awakenings and revivals in the past, so we hope and pray that the Lord may yet grant a true awakening and revival even in our day and save not just the ones and the twos, but the tens, the twenties, the hundreds, and maybe even by the Lord's grace, the thousands and tens of thousands even in our day. But of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is with each one of us as individual believers. And we can think of those great words, can't we, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Think of how a shepherd stays close to and with his sheep. That is a wonderful picture of how the Lord is with us. So long as he is with us, we shall not want. He provides everything we need. He gives us so much and so many wonderful blessings. He makes us lie down in green pastures, in safety. So often, like foolish sheep, we as sinners go astray and go off into dangerous alleyways and byways. But so long as we stay close to the Saviour, he will keep us in safety. He restores our souls. Whenever we sin and come back to him in true faith and repentance, he restores our soul. And he leads us in paths of righteousness. Why? For our glory? No. For his name's sake. Even though illness and death may come to us, we have that blessed assurance that Christ is ever near us and with us, and we fear no evil. Do we hear of loved ones falling ill and dying, and it saddens us? Let us ever remember that for the believer, death is only the passing from this world of woe and sadness into a more glorious one. That is the destiny that awaits each one of us if we truly believe on the Lord and have had our sins forgiven. And what a great future awaits the believer. The Lord anoints our head with oil in Psalm 23, and goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life, and there is a blessed promise of the heavenly glory that awaits us. We live, each one of us, in a veil of tears, don't we? We see in the news all the suffering that's going on around the world. We hear of wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, persecution and oppression of believers in other countries, the rise of false religion, illnesses and disease, economic gloom, crime increasing, our rulers promoting evil, wicked things, abortion, the murder of unborn children up to full term, others advocating for assisted dying or euthanasia. Where is Christ in all this? Has he forsaken us? No, he is still with us. He is still with each one of his people. He will be with us throughout our earthly lives and will take us to be with him in glory for all eternity. What a wonderful prospect. I always remember that famous preacher of old, Dick Saunders, who would speak often of the wonder of it all. Do we stop to consider that? It's a few years since he went to glory, but I'm sure one of the first things that struck him as he met his Lord and Saviour was the great wonder of it all, far more wonderful than he could ever have thought. When trials and afflictions come upon us, do we just throw our hands up in despair and say, "That's it, I can't take any more"? Perhaps unemployment strikes. Either we or a husband or wife loses their job. Perhaps we fall seriously ill, or another member of the family falls ill. Maybe a loved one dies suddenly. What is our reaction? Well, if we are the Lord's, we should always remember that he is still with us and has promised to be with us in all the circumstances of life. We sang the hymnal version of Psalm 34 before the start of the message. Through all the changing scenes of life, in trouble and in joy, the praises of my God shall still my heart and tongue employ. Do we believe that for ourselves? Can we each one of us say that when difficult trials come along, we will still praise the Lord? We can think of Job's response to his sufferings. In Job chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, when his wife said unto him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? It is perhaps easy to say we love the Lord and want to serve him when all is going well. But can we just say the same as Job when hard things happen in our lives? And I say this as much to myself as to anybody else. Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Our Lord is sovereign and has so ordered our lives. Whatever happens in life is for our blessing, for our sanctification, and for the Lord bringing his purposes to fruition, and he is ever with us. There are many other passages we can turn to. For example, those great words in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, when we see so many different things going on in our lives. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. No matter what is going on in our lives, or indeed in our nation and throughout the world, it is because the Lord has appointed it, and He's promised to be with us, no matter what the circumstances in our lives. In Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, we read these words in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." In verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And that chapter ends with that majestic chorus of the Christian's eternal preservation. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isn't that an amazing thought? If you are a believer here this evening, what a blessed promise this is. There's absolutely nothing that can separate each one of us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Do we feel sometimes under attack, under temptation? The devil cannot take us away from the Lord. The Lord is with us. If we hold fast to Him, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 10, the Apostle Paul spoke of a great affliction that was troubling him, but the Lord showed him that the trial he was experiencing was ultimately for his own good. And he says, "He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." The Lord Jesus Christ is ever with His people. He has been with His people for centuries and will continue to be with His people even unto the end of the world. However, even after that great and dreadful coming day of judgment at the end of time, He will still be with His people in glory. There are many passages that we can turn to that give us a glimpse into that heavenly glory that awaits us. John 14, verse 6, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." John 17, 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world." 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." In Revelation 21, 22 to 23, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Friends, no matter what is happening in the world, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what we may face in the future, let us ever give thanks to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who has been with us up until now, is with us even now, and will continue to be with us forevermore. May all praise and glory be unto him who is truly God with us. Amen.